Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
This is Carrie Growl, owner of Organic Pilates. We believe movement is more than exercise. It's a way to connect with yourself. Our new student intro includes a semi-private reformer session, two group classes, and an infrared sauna experience. And soon, you'll find us in our expanded studio in the heart of downtown Reading. Discover how movement with intention can change the way you feel at Organic Pilates.
Jason in the House.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. We got a special treat for you today. This one's going to be one of inspiration. This is going to be a really fascinating interview. Robert Paylor, you may not know him, but he was a rugby player, big guy, big dude, but had a spinal cord injury playing in a national championship game. And I saw this video. I heard his kind of TED talk, and I just thought, you know what, this is the kind of guy that I want to meet. I get inspired by people who overcome exceptional circumstances, just ordinary people that do exceptional things. It always inspires me. And so we're gonna get Robert on the line here. I've never met him, never talked to him. He's got a great, amazing story because he's made an incredible recovery. And I just really look forward to it. I think in this holiday season and as we set goals and trying to refresh our lives and, you know, contemplate a little bit about, hey, here we are in life and here's what's the new year going to be. And did 2025, did that stink or suck or was it awesome or, you know, but what's 2026 going to bring? And there's a lot of craziness going on in the world. I think that as I look at all the news and trying to put my arms around it, we're still dealing with this sickness and this mind virus, if you will, and this violence that is out there that is directed to people based on their religious beliefs. And primarily, it's directed towards people of the Jewish faith. Although around the globe, if you look at Nigeria, you have people being attacked for being Christians. I can tell you as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, kind of used to always just say, we're the Mormons, but no, it's the full name of the church is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We feel that as well, that there's a bias and some vitriol that is comes our way. And there are other people too, but I think for most Americans, that's not true. They understand that the beauty of the United States of America is that we have the freedom to practice the religion that we want. Now, if that religion crosses the barrier where you're calling for the death and destruction of another, then that's a bridge too far, and it needs to be rooted out and directed, and there need to be consequences to that. And some of that we've been seeing play out on the world stage. You see what happened in Australia. Clearly anti-Semitic feelings and directives. And how many shootings and attacks. And, you know, we tend to, in the news business, a lot of gets reported when people die. But so many other attacks happen that are meant to intimidate and to terrorize people. And that's still, unfortunately, in this season of positivity, one of the negatives that is out there. And I think it's worthy of addressing and making sure and reaffirming our resolve that we're just not going to stand for it. You know, you may, as I do, believe in Jesus Christ. You may believe in our Heavenly Father. You may not. But that doesn't mean that you have to project your evil in violence and physical attacks and terrorize somebody for believing something differently than you believe. And we're seeing this play out around the globe. And I think it's perhaps one of, if not the biggest, news stories out there. Now, some of it spills over into a lack of political tolerance. And it's always interesting to me. But I find this regularly. It's just like a drumbeat. Those that preach the most tolerance are the least tolerant around us. And I just don't understand that, how you can preach tolerance, but then when you have somebody who thinks differently about public policy, like being, I don't know, fiscally responsible or adhering to our immigration laws or whatever it might be, you may disagree. That's great. Okay, let's have that debate. But it doesn't mean that you lash out in violence. It doesn't mean that you dox, you know, ICE officers for doing their job and ministry, you know, enforcing the law. That's just, again, part of it. So I think I'm reflecting what a lot of people are reflecting or feeling. It's just like, just quit it. Just love thy neighbor, you know? And there, it's okay to do so, even if they disagree with you politically, and certainly if they disagree with you religiously. You can still break bread, laugh, smile, recognize the beauty and wonder of being alive and being being an American, being a citizen of the United States of America, all of these things. So as we kind of close out the year, I think that to me, I was really reflecting kind of what's the big story here. Everybody needs to take a deep breath and get a positive mindset and get inspired. And that's why Robert Paylor, who I've got coming on, I want to get to this discussion because you know what? He's got a really good message, and I'm really anxious to have him share that story. And I just really think that would be, anyway, I think it's going to be really good. So, but of course, the world wouldn't be complete without highlighting the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right, so I got to go to the New York Post. Always entertaining with those headlines. And this one caught my attention. Samsung smart fridge ad for new sci-fi series allegedly triggered a psychotic episode. Is this even legal? Like, what? A UK woman named Carol checked herself into an emergency room after a Samsung smart fridge advertisement allegedly caused her to lose her grip on reality. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. That's kind of just sad. But you watch a television commercial and you have to go to the hospital? Yeah. All right, let's move to the next one. Got to update this drunk raccoon. If you listen to the podcast regularly, you know we highlighted that this raccoon broke into this liquor store, and the United Press International is now reporting that this drunk raccoon, there's this great picture, just sprawled out in the bathroom. It looks like they had a night of debauchery and somebody maybe consumed way too much alcohol and spent the night by the porcelain throne. The picture that they're using is of this raccoon, spread eagle, like just on its belly, arms out and legs out to the side, because it had broken back into this alcohol store and got it into the alcohol. It's obviously got an addiction problem because it came back and got into the alcohol again, but somehow, some way, made it into the bathroom, and that's where this raccoon is spread out, having dealt with it maybe consuming too much alcohol. I'm getting too much entertainment out of this one, I can tell you that.
More Jason in the House next.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-242-3186. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Barack Obama ran an almost flawless campaign in 2008, concluding with his election as the 44th president and the first African-American to lead the United States. In early 2008, he spoke to supporters in Chicago.
The challenges we face will not be solved with one meeting in one night. It will not be resolved on even a super-duper Tuesday. Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
An officer from Tennessee who responded to a call about a dog on the loose and ended up sharing his lunch with him makes today's Dean's List. Officer Samuel Lopez found the dog injured and lying on the side of the road. He was frightened and unable to walk. But instead of calling animal control, Officer Lopez stayed with the pup for 2 hours, sharing his food and giving him water from his bottle. A simple act of kindness, but one that means so much. Video of Officer Lopez comforting the dog until help arrived was posted online with the caption, "This is what public service looks like. Empathy, patience, and heart." Samuel says for him, dogs are family. He and his wife were unable to have children, so animals have filled that important place in their lives. Staying with that dog was what he knew he had to do until the vet took over. A pure act of love. Officer Samuel Lopez, you made today's Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Sarah Snook, who leads Peacock's All Her Fault, about a mother searching for her missing son and the mysterious circumstances which unfold from there. Snook spoke about how being a mom added to her perspective on the role.
Yeah, I was only able to draw on that for my own experiences. I've never lost her at all, but the imagination, the world building of that, what it would be like to have the worst thing happen.
Previously starring as Shiv Roy on Succession, she shared what she was looking for in projects following the hit series.
I've been really kind of conscious about putting Succession in a different box. Like, it's not a thing that can ever be topped or compared with, or that was such an amazing experience that was career changing.
And you're also an EP on this for the first time. So what is sort of a takeaway that you can bring to whatever project you do next?
When you're an EP on every project is a different way of inhabiting that role. For me, what was really important was setting a culture on set and to have a kind of everyone's welcome equality.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
Jason in the House.
Let's bring in Robert Paylor because he has a story that is worthy of your time and I think will be quite an inspiration for you because some people take on challenges and some people take on really big challenges, and he was in a spot that none of us want to be in. But his positive attitude and his approach to tackling his spinal cord injury is really inspirational to me. So let's get Robert Paylor on the phone. Well, Robert, thanks for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast. Do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Always appreciate hearing your wisdom and insight. So it's a real honor for me to be here.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind. I was just surfing around over the Thanksgiving holiday, looking at different things online, and somehow, some way, your story popped up. So I clicked through, and then I watched a little clip, and then I went to your TED Talk, and I watched that whole thing, and I was just very inspired. And I wanted to get you on the podcast. I've never chatted with you before, but I'm inspired by, you know, what you did and how you did it, because, you know, to me, when ordinary people do extraordinary things, it's very inspirational. And so I'd love to hear your story and just walk us through what happened and where you are today, because this, you know, you never wish this on anybody, but it happens, and it happened to you.
And it does.
Just love to hear it. But to start way back from, you know, I was born in, you know, not what year, but where, and kind of walk us through growing up and what life was like.
Totally, totally. So I was born in Sacramento, California. So growing up for me, it was just hot summers and sports. As my earliest memories are playing t-ball or trying to shoot a basketball, and I really had a knack for contact. So when I found football, I was like, this is awesome. I was always kind of the biggest in my class, and once I found out how to use that size and pair it with some aggression,
how big really are you? Like when you say big, like how big?
Yeah, so I'm 6'5", and back in college, my playing weight was 245. So
we'll eventually
kind of get to me playing the sport of rugby. Now, for a college football player, that's like a dime a dozen, right?
But right, and there's lots of you guys, yeah.
Totally. So you're expected to be able to run the field 80 minutes continuously. That kind of size is one of the bigger guys on the field. So I remember my goal was when I was playing football, I just wanted to go play for a college and be on TV. That was like my litmus test. Once I'm on TV, I'm all good. And I can see my smiling face on there as I'm tackling some guy. And, I fell in love with that game. And then I go over to Jesuit High School in Sacramento, which has the most successful rugby program in America at the high school level. I think we're at 10 or 11 national championships now. It's really incredible, and this school has produced more American national team representatives than any other high school in America.
Rugby's an incredibly tough, difficult sport, but it's not widely found in high schools. And
yeah, I remember the first time I even heard of rugby. I think I was, 14 years old. I mean, late in life. And one of my best friends went over to New Zealand, where it's their national sport. People are just born with rugby balls in their hands. Right. And while watching a match, there was someone who lost their mouth guard. And they went into contact, and they bit through their lip, teeth through the skin. And I just thought, that's insane. I'm never going to do that. I'm fine with my helmet and pads. But then as I show up to Jesuit High School, you know, people are throwing a rugby ball around at recess, and they got the short shorts in their backpack. And they had just won a national championship my freshman year. And as I was going into my sophomore year, I got convinced. I decided to give it a shot. One of the best decisions I ever made. I absolutely fell in love with the sport. I love the camaraderie of it. I love the continuous nature. I love that you have a lot more leeway as a player and how you want to enact your game plan and react to certain situations. So I really just fell in love with the game. And when you're playing rugby in America, UC Berkeley is an elite rugby institution. We have 34 national championships in about 45 years. I think the only team that has more hardware than us is the Harlem Globetrotters. So we're not playing the Washington Generals every week. This stuff is real. Right. So it was really an honor to get my shoulder tapped to go play over at Cal.
So this culminates, I mean, you have a good season, right? And you're playing in the championship game. Do I understand that right?
That's right. By my sophomore year.
What year is this?
This is 2017.
Yeah, not too long ago. Okay, so 2017, coming into the national championship. I assume you got family, friends, everybody's excited, right? You're about to win the championship.
Everyone. And we kind of knew we were going to get this game. The team we're playing is Arkansas State, and I don't think they had ever won a national championship. And at the time, we were going for number 32, so we felt really confident.
So game time. Walk us through it. What happened?
Yeah, so it's very early on in this match that I'm competing in what's called a maul, which is when the bigger guys group up in a single unit and we start pushing to advance the ball as one unit. It's push-push, or in football, where a running back gets stood up and the big guys move the pile. We're just a little bit more organized about it in rugby, and this was a very calculated move that we were making, and I think they knew that. Now, I'm one of the biggest guys on this field. This is kind of my moment, right? I'm thinking we need to drive this in so we can get an early score and start getting ahead to build this momentum. So my back is flat, my shoulders are forward, and then these illegal moves start cropping up from the other team and the referee's not calling anything. So first a player enters in from the side of the maul, which is illegal. You need to come in from the front, but the ref's not calling it. And then that same player binds me to headlock. So he's got my chin kind of pinned down to my chest. So imagine me with that forward angle with my head starting to get wrenched down here. This is an automatic yellow or red card in rugby. Now you do that and you're gone from the game, but the ref's not calling anything. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm just going to keep moving forward. You know, some people might stand up and throw their arms out to the side and say, hey, ref, what's going on? Are you going to call this thing? I think I'm going to keep my legs chopping, back flat, and push this thing in. And as I do that, there's another player that chops me down by my legs. So I start falling down. And this guy is dragging me down by my head. I can't get my head up. I remember I just close my eyes. I grip my teeth. I feel this god-awful crunch in my neck. My forehead slams against my chest, literally nose into my sternum and gets pinned there. And then it's just poof. I can't move anything. I can't feel anything. I was totally clear and conscious, just as conscious as I am right now, but totally numb and motionless from my collarbone down, and my thoughts are going wild. I knew immediately what had happened to me. I knew that I broke my neck. I knew that I had a spinal cord injury. I'm having this buzzing pins and needles sensation everywhere, and I'm kind of taking this mental inventory. You know, rugby is a continuous game. You fall down, you get back up a lot. And after I didn't get up instinctually, I'm thinking, okay, move your leg. Can't do it. Wiggle your toes. Can't do it. Move your hand. Wiggle a finger. Like something, can't do it. Keep in mind, the game is still going on around me. The referee decided not to have a stoppage in play. And the medical staff runs out to me. Eventually we score on them. It creates a natural stoppage in play and I can get the medical attention I need. And they're doing all their tests. You know, Robert, can you feel this? Can you move this? It's just no, nothing. They put me on a stretcher, and I remember the moment when I knew it was really bad is I'm getting carted out. And, you know, my parents are there, my friends are there, my teammates, all of our fans, they're clapping for me. And, you know, what do people do when they're getting stretchered out like that? They give a thumbs up, right? Like, everything's going to be okay. I wanted so badly to give a thumbs up, and I couldn't. And I just thought, this is horrible. So they bring me over to the hospital, x-ray, CT scan, MRI. My doctor comes back. He's got a bad look on his face. He says, Robert, your injury is bad. It's really bad. And the reality is, you will never walk again. You will never move your hands. And the sooner you realize that, the better it's going to be for your mental health. You're going to be lucky if one day you can do something like pick up a piece of pizza and bring it to your face. If you can just feed yourself, you beat all the odds. Now, he went further to recommend a potentially life-threatening surgery to me at this time, which would be one of the best decisions I made to actually go into, because it stabilized my spine and allowed some regeneration so that the damage that was being done to my spinal cord wouldn't continue that paralysis that had started. But he told me it was a potentially life-threatening surgery, and I only had 1 hour to make a decision. So the first phone call I make is to my spiritual director. As I said, my faith is very important to me. I needed God in this room and to keep with me throughout this entire journey. And I'm Catholic, so I wanted to get a priest in here to give me the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, kind of like my last rites. And the spiritual director gives you this piece of advice that just changed everything for me, and it gave me so much power in what should have been a powerless situation. And he said, Robert, throughout this journey, there's going to be so much that you can't control, but the one thing you will have control over is your mindset. So your positivity and your ambition and your willingness to fight this every day is up to you, and this injury can't take that away from you. So I got to think of that moment, like, I didn't have a lot. I didn't have the odds on my side. I didn't have some doctors saying that everything was going to be okay, and I didn't have any signs of life showing up in my body, but I had this decision to keep moving forward, and I really just held on to that to get that clarity to decide to go into the surgery. So I remember I said my prayers. I said goodbye to my family. They put the gas mask over me for anesthesia. They say count down from 100. I think I made it to 97. It was lights out, and that concluded that day for me of May 6, 2017.
Wow. You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Robert Paylor right after this.
Ready to boost your learning and earning potential? Shasta College can help. Full-time students may qualify for 2 years of free tuition to jumpstart a high-demand career. Pressed for time? We get it. That's why we offer 8-week compressed, cohort-based, and online or hybrid classes designed for busy adults. Spring classes start January 21st, so now's the perfect time to plan your next step. For more information, contact ShastaCollege.edu.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
According to the Farmer's Almanac, we're getting a dry, mild winter in the western states this year, honey.
Oh, please. You say that every year. We're still getting new wiper blades. Premier Oil Change has their buy one, get one free sale, and I'm not passing that up.
But the Almanac...
The only forecast I care about is buy one, get one free. Get in the car.
At Premier Oil Change, buy one wiper blade and get the second one free, now through January 7th. No appointment needed. Just cruise on in, grab a free beverage, hop on the free Wi-Fi, and earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards, all while trained technicians take care of our thorough 30-point service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro at the Holiday Market Shopping Center, in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from the Round Table Pizza. Stop making excuses and come to the home of the friendly oil change today. Your wipers will thank you.
Your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
It's the Kia Season of New Traditions sales events. Redding Kia is celebrating the season with joy, gratitude, and incredible year-end savings. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we're giving a heartfelt thank you to our veterans and the brave men and women of our military. Since 2006, Redding Kia has been your trusted hometown dealership. During our holiday sales event, take home a brand new 2026 Kia Sportage. There's always a military incentive rebate at Redding Kia. Visit us at 418 East Cypress Avenue or anytime at reddingkia.com.
Ring in the new year at Redding Garden of Lights on Wednesday, December 31st, 6 to 10 p.m. for a special New Year's Eve event featuring live music by Black Vinyl 45 and a special New York-style countdown at 9 p.m., perfect for families with early bedtimes, all while surrounded by 2 million lights and 10 acres of illuminated gardens with food and drinks available for purchase. All proceeds support Turtle Bay. Don't miss New Year's Eve at Redding Garden of Lights. Wednesday, December 31st. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2255. Or 1-800-773-2345.
when you wake up and you're kind of coming to, your family's obviously there, right?
Yeah.
To continue to keep that positivity, I mean, that couldn't have been omnipresent. That couldn't have been just, there had to be moments of, you know, like, every emotional possible. Every emotion mm-hmm. possible, right?
There were. And I think what got me through it was people in the room. My mom spent 2 months sleeping in a chair by my bedside. I mean, 2 months. And I was battling pneumonia, but I couldn't cough. I couldn't swallow anything. I lost 60 pounds in a month. I mean, I was losing literally 2 pounds a day. And she was pressing down on my diaphragm to help me cough. I mean, my doctors told me I might not even survive, but having her there with me made me know that I'm not alone. I can do this. We had my dad. We had my brother. We had my rugby teammates coming in like a revolving door. And when I was with them, I wasn't depressed. And I wasn't Robert the quadriplegic. I was just me. And I remember I told this funny joke when my first buddies came in. I was applying to get into the hospital business over at Cal. It's a very rigorous application, pretty tough to get in. And one of my buddies just did it. I was going to do it the next year. He comes in, and I'm like, Tyler, there's no way they can deny me now. This is going to be the essay to end all essays from this story. So I think
they tell me no.
That's right. Come on. I mean, when I said stuff like that, I think it helped lighten the room. So they weren't just a rock for me. I could be a rock for them too. And I could have some levity from those really intense moments, which I of course went through, but I wasn't sitting in it all the time. Like you said, it wasn't omnipresent. So that really helped me get through that period.
Well, this kind of hits close home to me because a little over four years ago, our son-in-law, who's a big guy, he's like your size, six five, had an accident in our swimming pool and hit his head on the bottom of the pool. And I saw it and had to jump in and with our daughter and, you know, help get him up. And, you know, a very similar situation because they were 3 months in the hospital, didn't know what kind of recovery. He could move his toes just a little bit after several days or a week, which we took as obviously an incredible sign. And he was heroic. Our daughter, you know, I think it was 3 months they were in the hospital, and she spent every night up there with him. And, you know, they had little kids. And for 2 years, my wife and I went and lived in our basement, and they ended up moving in because they lived in South Carolina at the time. But this happened in Utah, and so they lived upstairs for a couple of years. And then there's so many miracles, but it is also so difficult. And part of that process, I think, and I want you to kind of explain it from your vantage point, because there is every emotion. I mean, we lived all that, and you know, it's still an issue. You know, it's just something that doesn't finally just go away. Fortunately, you know, like you, our son-in-law didn't have any cognitive issues.
That's right.
It was just a motor skill issue, and which is such a blessing. And his employer was just awesome. I can't, you know, just wonderful. So, you know, there's a whole community around that includes family and friends and neighbors in our church, you know, and and allowing people to serve and have a little bit of grieving and helping. Talk to us about that, because there are a lot of people who just, they're devastated. They feel for you, and it's genuine. It's not pity, right?
Right.
But they want to do something, and they don't know what to do.
Right. You know, I think so much of it goes on the individual who has had this catastrophic injury or situation happen to them. It was so hard for me to ask for help at first. You know, super independent person. My physicality was so rooted in my pride and my purpose, and it was gone. And if I wanted to go to the bathroom, I had to ask for help. If I wanted to eat, if I wanted to breathe, I had to ask for help. And so I kind of got forced in that situation, but I started to see that as I asked for help, my life was a lot better. And I don't think this is a lesson that just stands in the realm of catastrophic injury. This is for everybody, right? The first resort, I think, should be to ask for help. I don't think that's something that we should fall back on the last option. It's good to have a team of people around you. It's good to surround yourself with people who want to support you. They want to care for you. And I've just found that I can move so much farther. I mean, now I have my wife with me every day, supporting me, helping me. My mom is still there. I'm getting constant messages from my teammates and from people across the globe who are helping me in that mental capacity as well. I think, so that's kind of the patient side, is just realizing how much more you can do. And then I got to give so much credit to my family and friends that they just kept showing up. And it didn't have to be some big thing, like, can I do this for that or that for you? It was just, hey, man, how are you doing? you want to go get a beer sometime this week? Like, just those little touch points just showed me that I was never alone. I have so many people I can ask for help, and I don't always have to be like that Robert the quadriplegic, like I was saying. I can have these moments where I can just be myself, and that really helped me to step outside of that challenge for a little bit, recover, and then get back into it so I could really attack it full force.
Yeah, that's why I think you're inspirational, because that, you know, we have this silly shirt, you know, attitude determines your altitude, you know, and
yeah,
attitude is everything, and it's so true. And
it
it's okay to grieve and cry and be sad and frustrated, but, you know, I think allowing others the opportunity to serve is also a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get so much satisfaction by service and serving others. And mm-hmm. it may be something simple, maybe running to the store to get something for somebody, or helping to mow their lawn, or, I mean, there's so many ways that people can do that. And I think there's you had a big support structure. Our son-in-law, obviously, a big, big support structure. But there's a lot of people out there this holiday season, they're lonely. They're by themselves. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be a spinal cord injury like our family and you experience. What's your message? What do you say to people that are they're just lonely? You know, maybe their parents passed away. Maybe mm-hmm. they're fighting an addiction or a financial crisis, or, you know, a divorce, or, you know, something. What do you say to, you know, when you talk to crowds and people like that?
Yeah, first off, I want to say that that's really hard. And in some ways, it's difficult for me to relate. And I'm grateful for that. I just want to point out how lucky and blessed I've been throughout all this to just constantly have people by my side. Number one thing I would say is, even if there's no people around you, I think you really have to level into faith. In those moments when it was just me and my thoughts in a hospital bed, swirling in fear about what my future was going to look like as I couldn't move anything, mm-hmm. I really leaned into my faith. And I would ask God, please heal me. Please give me just an instantaneous full recovery from this. But at the end of the day, thy will be done. Just use this challenge and transform it into good. And I had this one moment, I feel inclined to share it. I don't share it that much because I don't want people to think it's kind of this like rah-rah fake stuff. But it was about 5 days after my injury that I had some really good friends come into the room with me, and deeply religious people. And they went to Mass earlier that day, and one of the readings during that Mass was the healing of the paralytic when he's dropped down through the roof by his friends, and he's able to walk again. So, you know, this is kind of like we're considering this to be some kind of a sign, maybe a little wink from God. And they all put their hands on me, and they're saying, Jesus, please lay your hands down on Robert and grant him a full instantaneous recovery from his paralysis. Let him walk in these hospital doors right now. You're all powerful. Please grant him this miracle. And then tell me if you hear anything, if you feel anything, if you see anything, let us know. At this point, I had like deep pressure sensations, so I could feel all these hands on my body. And I'm praying like I just told you, transform this, use this for good. If you heal me right now, I'll spend the rest of my life sharing your good news and what this faith in you can do for others. And, but I'm not really getting anything. And then maybe like 10 minutes later, I feel another hand put on my knee, and I open my eyes. I can't see anything, but I swear to you and all that is good and holy, I can feel this hand on my knee. And it was in that moment that I was just surrounded with this peace that I wasn't going to walk today, and I wasn't going to walk tomorrow or the next day or the day after that, but I will one day. And it's going to be my faith and my fight and perseverance through it. That's what's going to be the transformation. That's what's going to be the powerful message for others. And I felt that hand on my knee for 3 months. And in all those moments when I felt alone, I knew in my heart that I had the creator of the universe there with me, helping me push forward, carrying me when I couldn't carry myself. So I really want to encourage people to lean into that and to know that they are never alone. Even if they can't see anyone around them, they are never alone.
More Jason in the House next.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-smoker can get $1 billion of coverage for $75 per month level rate for 10 years, or a man age 50 non-smoker can obtain $500,000 coverage for a month premium of $110 level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for a new or replacement term life insurance, call Termbusters today for a quote at 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Rate and availability may vary by state. Sample quotes based on preferred non-smoker. Underwriting and exam required. Call 1-800-908-7636 for details. Paid for by Robert Levenger Insurance Agent.
Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and tariffs could cause inflation to make a devastating comeback. Are you ready for what more 2025 could bring? Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax-free and penalty-free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 Gold and Silver Kit from my partners at the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match on bonus silver if you qualify. Help secure your future today. Call 855-969-GOLD to learn more. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
The Bible promises that God is close to the brokenhearted, that he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Well, many say it is because churches need to minister more to the souls sitting in the pews. Author and evangelist Nick Vujicic.
A lot of us are not really having an honest audit check, an inventory of even just the brokenhearted within the four walls of the church, let alone trying to save the lost.
For 20 years, Vujicic has ministered to those in pain, knowing what it feels like to be angry with God over life circumstances. Born with no arms or legs, he almost committed suicide as a child, but the grace of God intervened. His book, Champions for the Brokenhearted, shows how to have faith in God's purpose and plan.
That's the epiphany, the revelation of realizing, I don't need to know the plan, I just need to believe that he has one.
For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
I'm Ashley DeVorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with the cast of Peacock's new mystery whodunit series, All Her Fault, starring Sarah Snook as a mother searching for her missing son as mysterious circumstances unfold. Jake Lacy and Jay Ellis discussed how it's a series where intrigue starts right away.
You dive right in and then are sort of left going like, it could be any of these people or someone else.
I immediately wanted to jump to like to page 48 or whatever it is of that pilot, that first episode, to figure out, like, well, where do we go from here?
Abby Elliott and Daniel Monks have tips for those ready to guess along.
There's so many subtle moments throughout, you know, the first few episodes. You know, if you blink, you might miss it.
Watch with friends or with people, family members, partners. It's very similar to, like, watching The Traitors. It's like, is arguing and debating over who you think what or how.
Ashley DeVorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
So, motor skills and being able to move your body, you've accomplished a lot of other things too, because, you know, being productive in the world, you probably could have chosen a path that said, hey, I'm going to get disability and I'll just ride that the rest of my life. Or you can, you know, get your education, get a job, where are you at in that path?
That's not the most exciting part about all of it. So I'm really proud of those physical gains, but I think what I'm most proud of is being a productive member of society and that transformation of taking what happened to me and using it to help others. So I got to start with number one, because it's like so top of my mind. My wife and I just had our first child on Monday. So
what? Congratulations. Yeah. What are you doing on a podcast with me?
like I said, I'm so honored to have this opportunity. So our kid is literally less than 72 hours old as we're recording this right now. So my wife.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And he's a little boy, and we named him Robert Thomas Taylor. So I cannot wait for him to dwarf me with that name. And just, like, what an incredible blessing. I mean, I would say my relationship with my wife and now my little growing family is the thing that I'm most grateful for and I feel most blessed to have. When I had this injury, I had some identity issues, and I looked in the mirror, and I saw the ridges in my sternum and the atrophy in my muscles, and I thought, who could ever love this? And when I met my wife, and she gave her hand to me in marriage, it just changed everything for me, to where my worth is not in my physical accomplishments, it's not even in how I look, it's about who I am. And that's what's worthy of her love and her life. So she really changed my life. I have to give her a huge shout out because she is just an absolute champ and she's so much cooler than me. So there's that from the family perspective.
So you met her. Did you know her before the accident or after the accident?
It was after. We had not even met before.
How did you meet her? I mean, it wasn't like you were out socializing all the time, hitting the bars. And I mean, maybe you were doing something online. I don't know. How'd you all meet?
Yeah. So we met through a Christian athlete group over at Cal. It's called Athletes in Action. And kind of funny. So I meet her there and I think, like, oh my gosh, like, tall, gorgeous girl. She's 6'2". Yeah, I'm 6'5". I was kind of looking for, like, a taller wife. And so I don't have to stay for college, right? So we could have some D1 babies. And anyways, I'm thinking, like, okay, I'm going to shoot my shot. I'm going to do my thing here. And I thought it was a total swing and a miss. Like, move on, Rob. She's not interested. But that just kind of came back to my insecurity issues. Lucky for me.
Because you're in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah, I'm in a wheelchair. My life is so different, right? I looked at myself so differently, and I shouldn't have. But lucky for me, one of my best friends is now married, but at the time was dating one of my wife Carson's best friends. And my buddy is like, Rob, you are an idiot. She really likes you. So we went on a double date. We got some drinks, and rest is history. We got married in November of 2023, and just an incredible story there.
That is incredible. We should have had your wife on this podcast.
You really should have.
But she still just had a baby. I can't believe you're dead. You're going to be reintroduced into the idea of, you know, it doesn't always work out, your sleeping patterns. But, you know, having babies, that's a young person's game. And you're young enough that, yeah. But it's such a joy. It's the greatest blessing. Good for you.
Thank you.
Awesome. I had no idea.
So I'm running on 1 hour of sleep. So if I've stumbled any of my words, nobody would be too harsh on me.
No, you've been great. But you got your education, right? And you.
Yeah.
And tell us about education and job.
Mm-hmm. So that's the part where I got so excited about my family. I kind of skimmed over that. So I went back to Cal. I got my degree from the Haas School of Business and I kept doing my rehab. My, associate head coach and strength and conditioning coach from the Cal Rugby program did all my rehab for 2 years. I would not be walking if it weren't without him. An incredible person. Coach Tom Billups completely changed my life. The steps I take today are because of him. And it allowed me to be able to pursue my education at the same time because I wasn't gonna give up that rehab component. And I graduated in May of 2020. What a great year, 2020. And
I always had this
goal. Yeah, right. And I always had this goal of walking across the stage. You know, that was kind of one of these milestones, that vision plan that I had. Of course, nothing was going on in May of 2020 for packing people in stadiums and stuff like that. But luckily, UC Berkeley retroactively had a ceremony where I got to stand up on my own 2 feet with my girlfriend, now wife, behind me and Coach Billups right in front of me. And I got to thrust that sheepskin in the air with 15,000 people screaming their butts off. Such a huge moment and something that I go back to frequently when I need that little boost. But it was during that journey that I was doing some internships at Intel. And I thought, okay, I want to kind of shoot for this business executive route, you know, living over here in Northern California, tech and semiconductors are so prolific. I'd like to get into that. And it was during that period that Intel was having some tough operational times and asked me if I would come in, share my story, and talk about some tools and resilience and mindset that have served me through this challenge so that they can get through that challenge. So I was pretty nervous. You know, it's not often that the intern is giving advice to a senior vice president and stuff like that. But it knocked it out of the park. I mean, they're laughing, crying, standing ovation. They're saying, Robert, you're crushing it on the spreadsheets, but this is what you should do. You should be sharing this story with as many people as possible. And I thought, you're right. So I went into it. I went all in. I pushed my chips across the table, and it's the best decision I ever made. I travel across the country now, sharing the story and talking about what paralyzes us on that mental or emotional level. So I have this journey of a physical paralysis, but we all have something that paralyzes us, and that can be anxiety or grief or stress, burnout, despair. There's all these little things that can get us down. My goal is to get people to start thinking about that, what's paralyzing you, share my story, but most importantly, share these tools that have helped me throughout this journey so that they can overcome what's paralyzing them. So I did that. I came, you know, I had that TED Talk that you mentioned, and then I came out with my first book on May 6th of this year, exactly 8 years since my injury, to reclaim some victory over that day. And it's meant everything for me to take this challenge, which should have been the worst thing that ever happened to me, and turn it into a gift. And that's a gift that I can share with other people. I'm really proud of that.
What's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Paralyzed to Powerful.
Oh, that's awesome. Robert Paler. So he's got robertpaler.com. He's also got Paralyzed to Powerful, the book. And, Robert, congratulations. A new dad.
Thank you.
That's just remarkable. Good for you. And great inspiration for a lot of people out there. I hope you get to get in front of as many corporate events and everything else to get out and share that motivational story, because it is remarkable. And I'm glad I kind of came across it, and honored to chat with you. And thank you so much for joining us on this Jason in the House podcast.
Thank you so much. The honor is really mine. This was a treat.
I can't thank Robert enough. He's an inspiration and should be for all of us. And new dad? Hey, how cool is that? Congratulations. Hope you're able to rate this podcast. We certainly appreciate that. You can subscribe to it. So it shows up once a week. You can subscribe to it. I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. It's the holidays. I hope you've enjoyed this. Maybe you're driving to grandma's house. Maybe you're off to somewhere. But I hope you're enjoying the holidays, whatever you celebrate. Christmas, Hanukkah, I don't know what it might be, but we can all celebrate a new year and set new goals and be positive about the future. And that, I hope, rings true for everybody. And whether you're by yourself and lonely or sad, or if you've got a whole big family, you just need to go for a walk and get out. I understand that too. So wishing nothing but the happiest of holidays. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been the Jason in the House podcast.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase.
Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons. Premium offerings. Unbeatable value just for you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Trump administration is deploying 350 National Guard troops to New Orleans ahead of the new year.
It's the latest federal deployment in the city at the same time that an immigration crackdown led by Border Patrol is underway. A Pentagon spokesman said the Guard members will be tasked with supporting federal law enforcement partners, including the Departments of Justice and Homeland Security. Louisiana's Republican governor welcomed the deployment, but critics argued the move is unwarranted, and they point out that New Orleans has already seen a decrease in violent crime. Greg Clugston, Washington.
President Trump has spoken with Russian President Vladimir Putin this morning before sitting down with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Florida. Mr. Trump posting on social media today that he and Putin had a, quote, good and very productive telephone call. Zelensky has arrived at Mar-a-Lago and their meeting should begin shortly. The hope is for peace. The African Union rejecting Israel's recognition of Somalia's breakaway region.
On Friday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made Israel the first country to recognize Somaliland, Somalia's breakaway region, as an independent nation. And Netanyahu and Somaliland's president, Abdurrahman Mohamed Abdallah, signed a joint declaration.
I want you to know that I'm signing now, as we speak, Israel's official recognition of Somaliland and its right of self-determination.
On Saturday, Africa's regional governance bodies rejected the recognition. The African Union says it undermines Somalia's sovereignty and risks peace and stability on the continent. I'm Donna Water.
A powerful winter storm driven by a rapidly intensifying cyclone sweeping east from the plains today. Heavy snow, ice, rain, severe weather affecting all in its path. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Call for your fast free quote today.
Call 800-291-0628. That's 800-291-0628. 800-291-0628.
France, Germany, the EU, and the UK are responding to a U.S. decision to impose travel bans on five Europeans. The Trump administration says we're pressuring tech firms to censor or suppress American views. The EU's executive branch, the European Commission, which supervises tech regulation on the continent, is warning that it will take action against, quote, any unjust measures. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the five were radical activists. Google's corporate parent says it will buy a data center energy specialist, Intersect, for $4.75 billion. It's all part of an effort by Google to secure the vast amount of electricity needed to power artificial intelligence technology going forward. Alphabet, which depends on Google's search engine and other online services for most of its revenue, is buying out Intersect in its entirety after purchasing a stake just a year ago. News and analysis at townhall.com. This year marks the 100th anniversary of the first Winnie the Pooh story. Chrissy West is a lecturer in children's literature at University of London. She says the characters of the Hundred Acre Wood still resonate.
If we think about Winnie the Pooh, a bear of very little brain, who likes eating honey but can't spell honey, to the point he gets stuck in Rabbit's front door and has to stay there for a week while Rabbit hangs his washing over Pooh's legs. If we think about Piglet, who is always a follower and a little shy. If we think about Eeyore, who is kind of depressed a lot of the time. I think what the text does there, it doesn't kind of negate these as difficulties, but what it does is to say, no matter who you are, no matter what you're like, you're valued, you're loved, your friends are there for you. And I think friendship is absolutely at the center of this text.
The first Pooh story was published in a London newspaper on Christmas Eve, 1925. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wind River Resort and Casino celebrates the end of the year in style. Join us Wednesday, December 31st for an unforgettable New Year's Eve bash. Immerse yourself in a night filled with laughter and excitement featuring comedian Eric Griffin and live band The Freshmakers. Stay for a delicious buffet. Don't miss out. Tickets on sale now, including exclusive VIP seats. Each ticket also includes $10 free slot play. Must be 21 and over. For complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
It's the Kia season of new traditions sales events. Red and Kia is celebrating the season with joy, gratitude, and incredible year-end savings. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we're giving a heartfelt thank you to our veterans and the brave men and women of our military. Since 2006, Red and Kia has been your trusted hometown dealership. During our holiday sales event, take home a brand new 2026 Kia Sportage. There's always a military incentive rebate at Red and Kia. Visit us at 418 East Cypress Avenue or anytime at redandkia.com.
Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
President Trump announced that the military would begin developing a new class of warship dubbed the Trump class, with construction of the vessels expected to begin in 2030. According to specifications released by Navy officials, the ships are estimated to be more than double the size of the largest ships currently in American fleet and have the capacity to carry hypersonic missile batteries. When asked by reporters whether the ships were meant to counter China's Navy, which currently is the largest in the world by hull count, President Trump denied this, saying they were meant to counter everybody.
It's the counter to everybody. It's not China. We get along great with China. I have a great relationship with President Xi. And not China. It's just everybody. You don't know who comes along. But we just wanted peace through strength. Hopefully we never have to use them. But there will never be anything built like these.
Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky expressed optimism toward the state of peace negotiations with Russia, saying nearly 90% of Ukraine's demands have been incorporated into the current draft. Let's bring in our panel. Co-founder of South and Hill Strategies, Cullen Reed, CEO of Sean Cooperman Research, Carly Cooperman, and Vox News Chief Congressional Correspondent, Chad Pergram. Chad, a lot of different things happening as we head to the end of the year. But obviously the Epstein investigation and all of the release of the Epstein files has taken a lot of oxygen and attention as we end out 2025.
I'm struck by how much attention this is getting because nothing survives in a vacuum. You might remember the last time we had this much attention, well, Congress was out of session during the summer. What's going on right now? Congress is out of session during the winter. This is the Christmas break, and so nothing survives in a vacuum, and guess what? People are talking about this. Now, some of this has been compelled by the law that Congress passed, compelling the release. Everything was supposed to be released on the 19th of December. You have bipartisan members who are disappointed about what has been released, and this is where you have people on both sides of the aisle, Thomas Massie, Republican of Kentucky, and Ro Khanna, Democrat of California, strange bedfellows, to be sure, joining forces and saying, you know, look, maybe we should do something to maybe hold Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, in contempt of Congress if they don't move in that direction. The one thing I want to acquaint the audience with is a term you might hear, inherent contempt. inherent contempt is different than regular contempt of Congress. In other words, the Congress would vote to say maybe somebody hasn't been complying with requests for information or whatnot, and they vote and they send a referral to the Justice Department to, criminally prosecute this person. Well, guess what? That's Pam Bondi's department. So what our friends Massey and Khanna are talking about is where Congress asserts its own power inherently, hence the term inherent contempt, and said, we could actually bring you in and say that, until you are in compliance, we're going to hold you. Now, we don't think that's going to happen with the Attorney General in the United States. That used to be the way they did it in the late 18th century. They haven't done inherent contempt since there was a commerce official and there was an airmail scandal back in the 1930s. And of all places, they held him at the posh Willard Hotel. But that's the phrase you're going to hear. And you had Ro Khanna saying the other day that that's where they would start if they don't think they're getting the documents. Inherent contempt. But it also gives you a preview. If Democrats get control of the House, they might talk about impeachment, not for the president, but maybe for cabinet officials.
Yeah, Carly.
Yeah, that's right. I think at this point, voters who maybe weren't necessarily paying as much attention, big picture, to this issue relative to others, as this continues to come out in drips and pieces and questions and controversy and piecemeal, I think it's slowly bringing more and more people in. And I think the big picture is that it just taps into this larger picture of distrust that seems to sort of, always exist with voters towards government. But then when you see what seems like, are there cover-ups? Is there information being withheld? Why is it taking so long? That's the sort of thing where it just sort of fuels this uncertainty. And, obviously at hand is an issue that is just generally abhorrent to voters. And so the more that these things come out, the more you're just seeing this disdain and disgust and I think frustration towards how government is working and operating and, who they're trying to help. And I just think it sits really poorly with voters.
Yeah. The New York Times had its own investigation of the documents so far. Colin has, in the back end of a big story, a long story, says there's no nothing found that was untoward as far as President Trump in these documents. But again, it keeps on coming out and there's all kinds of questions around it.
Yeah, and the drips and drabs that feed the news cycle this time of year, Brett, when there's not a whole lot else going on. Actually, there's a whole lot of other news going on, but this is the most salacious of it. And Carly hit the nail on the head, which is, and the Democrats who are trying to politicize this for their own personal political gain are learning this the hard way, is this whole debacle scandal does not cut along pure partisan lines. There's Democrats who are getting ensnared in it. And some would say Larry Summers. I mean, his life took a turn for the worse when this thing started a few weeks ago. Bill Clinton, I'm sure, former President Clinton, probably wishes he wasn't dealing with those pictures that came out the Friday before Christmas. But to Republicans and to conservatives who have been dealing with these allegations for so many years, the most compelling piece of argument is if there was some smoking gun in here that somehow brought down Donald Trump, which is what the insinuation, the allegations, the whispers of him have always been from his political opponents, don't you think this would have come out under the 4 years of President Joe Biden in between the two President Trump terms? And frankly, for that matter, the 8 years of President Obama, and it didn't. So, but look, this is going to continue to consume news oxygen. And again, Carly's right. It speaks to people's belief that there's one set of rules for the rich and powerful, and there's an entirely different set of rules for everybody else. And that's what really grinds people's gears.
Yeah. And Chad, the we started off with the military and obviously the signing of the NDAA, and that took a long time to get through Congress as is. Now the Navy talking about extending and making new battleships and destroyers. It is an expansion of the military and how much the U.S. is going to spend on that.
They certainly spend more in that area, the discretionary part of spending, than any other place in the federal budget. They have to re-up that spending by the 30th of January. That's one of the nine bills that they did not do in the appropriation cycle that's due come January 30th. I think you might see, because of that, maybe some, you know, policy efforts. Democrats, you know, certainly people who are anti-war, even some Republicans, saying, you know, what are we doing here? Are we spending too much? That's a possibility. And politically, you know, the thing for the president, you know, people always say, well, you know, deterrence by strength and things like that. Okay, fine. But I think you might have some Republicans who are starting to get uneasy about the president not working with Congress on any particular military intervention in the Caribbean or maybe Venezuela. And so you have people on both sides of the aisle with that. And remember that the president campaigned on no more forever wars. Well, they are using, and I've pressed Lindsey Graham, the Republican senator from South Carolina, about this, and a couple of others. They're relying on that old authorization from 2001, which says, okay, we can pretty much go anywhere, anytime, and do anything. That was originally to fight the war on terror, and specifically to go into Afghanistan. And that is where you've had people on both sides of the aisle say that is a quarter century old. It is a calcified piece of legislation, a calcified authorization. If we're going to be involved, maybe the Congress needs to, you know, kind of show its muscle. Congress has not really been showing much muscle in any quarter lately. That's a problem. You have some Republicans who are willing to challenge the president on this. And, you know, this is where I ask some lawmakers, what happens if there's an incident? And unfortunately, sometimes when we start to commit military assets, this is what happens. And there's a bad, you know, episode where, you know, somebody gets killed or a group of people get killed or there's bad video. And people say, what are we doing down there? The public starts to ask that question. That is a risk for this president when he said he was not going to campaign on forever wars. And we're into something now that nobody quite can define. I mean, ask LBJ about this. You know, this is what led to the, you know, Gulf of Tonkin resolution. And look how that turned out in Vietnam.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month, and for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-242-3186. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
This is House Call for Health. If you're having trouble sleeping, you might consider turning to the age-old practice of Tai Chi for some relief. Tai Chi is a traditional Chinese mind-body exercise that involves slow, flowing movements
deep breathing, and focused attention. Researchers at Hong Kong University conducted a study of 200 Chinese adults ages 50 years and older who'd been diagnosed with chronic insomnia. The study found after 15 months, participants who used Tai Chi regularly had fewer problems falling asleep. Other research has also shown long-term use of Tai Chi improves sleep quality, increases total sleep time, and reduces the amount of time it takes to get to sleep. Unrelated to those studies, the CDC suggests creating a good sleep environment. Make your bedroom dark by using room darkening shades or heavy draperies, and also keep the room quiet, cool, and comfortable. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A man in Italy accused of dressing up as his mom to collect her pension. The man, whose name hasn't been released by authorities, is the son of Graziella Dall'Olio, who had died in 2022 at the age of 82. Police say the 57-year-old man, who's a former nurse and currently unemployed, did not report her death to authorities. When Dall'Olio's ID expired, the son allegedly put on makeup, a wig, and her clothes to pose as his mother and renew her ID. However, the agent that was processing the application noticed dark hair on the back of his neck and on his chin and tipped off authorities to the alleged crime. Officers sent an elderly woman's home address and found her mummified body in the laundry closet room wrapped in sleeping bags. The man is accused of concealing a corpse, fraud against the state, impersonation, and forgery of a public document. He's accused of removing fluids from his mother's body with a syringe to prevent decomposition. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On July 27, 1976, after months of legal wrangling, former Beatle John Lennon finally won residency in the U.S.
Well, it's great to be legal again. I'll tell my baby and our family and, of course, the Immigration Service for finally seeing the light of day, as they say. Good.
You want
Thank
to
you.
That card?
Yeah, I'd love to. I should have got a different picture.
What does it mean to you after 5 years of struggling to become a permanent resident to get that green card?
Well, it was a very slow, long struggle, so it's not like, you know, it suddenly ends. I'll come out of it slowly and I realize I can go to visit relatives in Japan, show them the baby, show them in England, you know, save them coming over here. And I can go visit the relatives and come back with safety now with the green card. How do you feel?
I'm overwhelmed.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
Carly, there are some people looking at Venezuela saying, I don't fully understand it. I think there are multiple levels to it. Obviously, it's the drug issue and taking out those boats and the interdiction of that and destroying that threat to the U.S. However, it also is sort of three-dimensional chess with China playing a role in Latin America and perhaps trying to change the dynamic there and with energy when it comes to Maduro.
All right, that's right. It's a really complicated issue, and I don't think the Trump administration has explained it clearly to voters, and we're seeing that showing up in the polls that are coming out around this issue. The latest Quinnipiac poll had 53% of voters oppose military attacks to kill the drug smugglers in international waters. 63% say they oppose U.S. military action inside Venezuela, obviously taking it one step farther. But I think, you know, it's not that people on in and of itself are against you know, standing up to drugs being smuggling in the United States, but the way that it's going, the Trump administration is going about it, where, you know, Trump has often communicated his peace through strength mentality, and he's clearly trying to, you know, double down on all of that here. But this idea of brute force when, you know, voters don't really have much of an appetite for conflict, for Americans getting involved in overseas issues, and that combined with the fact that they really don't understand what's happening here is making this an increasingly unpopular issue that voters see towards the president. You see that coming out in his approval ratings and his actions, but his ratings specifically towards foreign affairs and his handling of military action as well.
Yeah, Colin?
here's the deal. The Communist Chinese Party has the largest navy in the world, and that shouldn't be. And we have yet to apply the appropriate resources to our navy since the 1980s. 6 in 10 of ships made this year, naval ships made this year, were made in Chinese ports. And that's a terrifying thought for anyone who's concerned about China's geopolitical ambitions. And it reminds me, frankly, of Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt sent 16 ships around the world to show American might. So there's no reason we should cede naval dominance on the high seas to anyone, least of all the Chinese Communist Party. And then on Venezuela, correct, very complicated issue. But as Secretary Rubio put it last week, the status quo is unsustainable. 90% of the country is below the poverty rate. Nicolas Maduro is an evil man. He's a dictator who oppresses his people, who rigs elections. And the idea that we can just sit back there and let it go, like that was something that we established long ago in the Monroe Doctrine. No one is suggesting that this means the United States needs to go in there and lead regime change. But that seems to be where critics of anything, doing anything, seem to go immediately. And, of course, energy plays a major, major role in that. Venezuela has 20% of all the world's oil, crude oil reserves. President Trump is getting tough on an $8 billion, that's billion with a B, dollar illegal market, oil market, where all this oil is flowing from Venezuela to China, to Moscow, and it's just fueling our geopolitical foes. So, look, it's a complicated issue. It's got narco-terrorism. It's got global dominance. But the idea that we can just sit back and do absolutely nothing in a place that's not that far from our shores is out of touch with reality as well.
Chad, we're getting ready, obviously, to turn into 2026, which will be in a midterm election year, and everything gets supercharged during that, including, you know, the next fiscal cliff and funding the government, et cetera.
They have to fund most of the government by the 30th of January. We don't quite know how that's going to go. They didn't do any spending bills after they reopened the government in the middle of November, and so that does not bode well for the 3 weeks that they have before then. And again, there's going to be, as I said, the defense spending bill. That's challenging. You have something called Labor H, Labor, Health, and Human Services. That spending bill is probably the most nettlesome of all, because there's always abortion issues, probably vaccine-related issues in this. The Department of Homeland Security spending bill, it's its own bill as well, you know, ICE issues and border issues. It's going to be hard. And remember that House Speaker Mike Johnson, he promised to do regular order, doing these bills one by one. They're not going to do that. And Democrats were kind of circumspect as to whether or not they were going to run the same play in January that they ran this fall on health care. There is going to be an effort by, you know, Republicans to try to at least show that they're doing something on health care. And probably based on the way I've calculated the clock here, the 8th or 9th of January, in the House, they have to wrestle with that discharge petition, which four Republicans signed on to the Democratic plan to go around the Speaker and force a vote to renew the Obamacare subsidies, which expire on the 31st of December, for 3 years. And don't forget Marjorie Taylor Greene. She resigns on the 5th of January. There is a special election in Texas in late January between two Democrats. So that margin that Mike Johnson has to deal with shrinks even further.
The thing I don't fully understand is, if you're just going to give some time to try to work a solution on health care, why is that time 3 years of increasing subsidies? If your concern is about the rising costs of health care and the fact that the Obamacare exchanges are not driving costs down.
Yeah, and the four Republicans who signed on to the Democratic plan, you know, they've all talked about some sort of an off-ramp, you know, several months, a year. You put some guardrails up there. You modify the program somewhere. That's probably, if they do fix it, that's where they land. But the Democrats were like, Republicans have nothing that can pass. So, you know, if you're the Democrats, you know, they probably don't get that if they actually work out a solution. But again, you know, they knew that, you know, the Republicans weren't going to pass anything on their end, so they said, okay, we'll ask for 3 years.
Yeah, and Carly, the actual folks that are really affected is about 1.6 million who could get, you know, change their plans and deal with the expenses that way, from a bronze to a, or a silver to a bronze plan, et cetera, et cetera. But the other thing that's factoring in here is concern about waste, fraud, and abuse, and this Minnesota story is exploding about, you know, the fraud that's involved here, and you wonder whether that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Right. I think there's competing concerns that are taking place here right now because, you know, Americans feel like their cost of living is high. The day-to-day costs they face are really high, and healthcare is a huge contributor to those costs. And so even if there's a disconnect with understanding, what they see right in front of them is this idea that something's going to happen that's going to make their healthcare costs go up. And this is why right now, Democrats appear to be on the winning side of this issue, especially in this vacuum where Republicans have yet to put anything else forward as a solution. You know, they're not coming to the table to talk about the issue. But I think, you know, as we're seeing healthcare costs rise as a top issue corresponding to the conversation around it, I think it's hitting so hard because it's a concrete example of this overall narrative of the cost of living being just untenable right now for many Americans.
All right, panel, thanks.
Audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Democratic nominee and 42nd President of the United States, Bill Clinton, addressed the Democratic Convention in 1992 at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Let it be our cause that we give this child a country that is coming together, not coming apart. A country of boundless hopes and endless dreams. A country that once again lifts its people and inspires the world. Let that be our cause, our commitment, and our new covenant. My fellow Americans, I end tonight where it all began for me. I still believe in a place called hope. God bless you, and God bless America.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, I'm Teresa Giudice.
I'm Clay Aiken.
I am Dre DeMatteo.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jill Whelan.
Hey, everybody. It's Billy Baldwin.
It's Patricia Heaton.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Polizzi.
It's Candace Bushnell.
Hey, everyone. It's Henry Golding.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
I'm Ted Lange, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network,
this is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio. This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind. 1995.
Mike Tyson.
In the last 3 years, I had the chance to reflect on my life and develop my mind, and I will continue my journey to making myself a better person.
The federal building on 5th is going to be your main target. You have half of the building collapsed all the way from the roof down.
Very frustrating.
frustrating for firefighters because there are some areas where we're reaching and touching people, but we just can't get to them.
The bombing in Oklahoma City was an attack on innocent children and defenseless citizens. It was an act of cowardice, and it was evil.
I did not, nor to my knowledge, did anyone else in the White House destroy, mishandle, or misappropriate any document in Vincent Foster's office.
The White House has contended that the Clintons were passive investors in Whitewater. The facts are otherwise.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
News as it happens then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A preemie baby from New York who was in the NICU for 146 days and finally got to go home makes today's Dean's List. Trinity Alexandria Rose Taylor weighed just 1 pound 14 ounces when she was born at 26 weeks. Doctors called her a micro preemie and a miracle. She faced big challenges with her underdeveloped lung, her heart, and eyesight, but was a fighter every single day. Her parents, Letitia Morris and David Taylor, say her survival is a miracle. The NICU was a second home for Trinity's family, giving her critical care, monitoring, and saying many prayers. And finally, when she was able to go home, the hospital made sure it was a day to remember. Doctors, nurses, and staff all lined the hallways, clapping and cheering as Trinity and her family walked the red carpet. She weighed over 11 pounds when she went home and will now just return for regular checkups going forward. Janice Dean, Fox News.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
We're going to restore America as a major shipbuilding power. We're going to ensure the USA is the most powerful fleet anywhere in the world. And long into the future.
What I've learned is that not only is the president's idea a good one, it's something that Navy desperately needs and now has a formal requirement for. The future Trump-class battleship, the USS Defiant, will be the largest, deadliest, and most versatile and best-looking warship anywhere on the world's oceans.
President Trump and the Navy Secretary, flanked by the Secretary of War and the Secretary of State, announcing this new fleet of battleships, the Golden Fleet, the President calls it, and they have some pictures of the Trump class of battleship that will be built in the U.S., number of them to begin, and they're going to try to get up to 20. This comes, obviously, as there's a lot of focus on what is happening around the country of Venezuela. And the buildup in the military and the naval force outside Venezuela. The president asked about that and specifically the leader there, Maduro, and how he's taking all of this.
He can do whatever he wants. I mean, we have a massive armada formed, the biggest we've ever had, and by far the biggest we've ever had in South America. He can do whatever he wants. It's all right. Whatever he wants to do. If he wants to do something, if he plays tough, it'll be the last time he's ever able to play tough.
Let's bring in our panel, Real Clear Politics White House correspondent Philip Wegman, Fox News contributor Molly Hemingway, and Fox News senior political analyst Juan Williams. Phil, there's a sense that this is a buildup. Obviously, we've seen the naval assets swarm around Venezuela, but continually the president has mentioned doing something on land to stop the drugs coming from Venezuela. Is there a sense that this is escalating?
There's a tremendous amount of momentum building here, not just for the naval strikes, but the president has said on numerous occasions that land would be next. And at this point, I don't know who is more bold or perhaps foolhardy, the captain of that Venezuelan oil tanker that's trying to run away from the U.S. Navy, or Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, who continues to defy Donald Trump. In both cases, you know, it's kind of a bold strategy. We'll see how it works out. But Trump has shown in the U.S. he has the political capital to keep doing this without a declaration of war. And obviously, on the military front, he has overwhelming force. So, calling his bluff seems to be rather short-sighted.
Yeah, Molly, obviously, lawmakers on both sides weighing in on the situation. Take a listen.
What I saw in that room was one of the most troubling things I've seen in my time in public service. You have two individuals in clear distress without any means of locomotion, with a destroyed vessel, who were killed by the United States.
I didn't see anything disturbing about it. What's disturbing to me is that millions of Americans have died from drugs being run to America by these cartels. What's gratifying to me is that the president has made the decision, finally, after decades of letting it happen, that we're going to take the battle to them.
When you see a boat that has drugs on it, you don't just bomb it. Maybe you get on the boat and you arrest everyone on it, question them. They're now seizing oil tankers, which has nothing to do with drugs.
These are sanctioned boats. This is consistent with international law, and this is the primary source of income for Venezuela. So I think this is consistent with what the president said, consistent with America's interests.
Molly?
President Trump has shown an interest in focusing more on a sphere of influence of this hemisphere as it relates to other countries. Venezuela has very close ties to China, to Russia, to Iran. These boats transporting oil are part of a larger picture, but one that interests President Trump because of his belief that he needs to kind of make sure things are going well in this hemisphere. It's also true that, you know, land strikes or even the bold actions that have been taken thus far in terms of a blockade or some of the attacks that have happened thus far are one thing. I don't know about the American people supporting a full-on land invasion, which would be something different. But President Trump has shown a unique foreign policy where he says something, he expects people to take it seriously, but he's not invested in super long wars to carry out undetermined policy goals.
Yeah, and to Phil's point, Juan, Reuters, the U.S. pursuing a third oil tanker near Venezuela, and they are in international waters. Officials telling Reuters that in what would be the second such operation this weekend, third in less than 2 weeks, and that is continuing as we speak. It does seem like there is a bolder or a broader sense here, not just the drug boats, but maybe also influence, to Molly's point, in the region from China and others.
I think so, and also we've heard that Cuba may be suffering because they are reliant on so much financial support, including oil, coming from Venezuela. So it may have some kind of domino effect in taking down some governments that have never been popular in the U.S. But I think on a larger scale, I would go back to, you know, the question being raised here, which is this a war of necessity or is this a war of choice? I think a lot of people wondered if the president was going to announce that we were going to war. And if that's the case, you know, then exactly why and how much of a commitment do we have? I don't think there's any question, as we heard from my colleagues, that the United States has a superior military power. That ship that's running away can run. It's not going to get away. And Maduro can do whatever he wants, as President Trump said. He'll be defeated. But then, are we on the hook for how much money? Are we going to put people on the ground to fight? I just don't think it's that Venezuela is an American national security priority. And I just think we have to think through why are we there and what is going on. The president has not articulated that yet.
Meantime, the president was asked again about the Epstein files and the pictures that are coming out. What has not come out yet, Phil? It's still a question that he gets and has been a focus over the weekend. Here's what he said about the pictures of former President Clinton.
Look, I like Bill Clinton. I've always gotten along with Bill Clinton. I've been nice to him. He's been nice to me. We've always gotten along. We respect him. I hate to see photos come out of him, but this is what the Democrats, mostly Democrats, and a couple of bad Republicans are asking for.
But here's Rand Paul in what he's calling the partial release here.
The administration has struggled for months and months with something they initially ginned up and then sort of tried to tamp down. So any evidence or any kind of indication that there's not a full reveal on this, this will just plague them for months and months more. So my suggestion would be give up all the information, release it.
He's basically saying the administration, Phil, has struggled for months with putting out all of these in part months and months. The suggestion would be just give out all the information and release it all. Where is the White House?
Well, it's difficult to get a passing grade when you turn in your work late, and by law they were supposed to release all of the information already. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche says that they are complying with the law, trying to ensure that no victims are pictured, and also with this court ruling out of the Southern District of New York. I think that the public would likely give the White House more grace if the president had not flip-flopped on this issue, and if Attorney General Pam Bondi hadn't made, you know, some of those misleading statements earlier in the year. But you have the right, who wants to see, you know, Democratic politicians embarrassed, and you have the left, who is accusing the White House of cherry-picking some of this information. You know, while we wait for all of the files to be released, there's more than 200 reporters going through it, working 24/7. So we'll have to wait and see until we see the entirety.
Molly?
Well, people want information, and the reason why it's dangerous to do that is because you get some information without context, or people can be accused of wrongdoing when no actual wrongdoing was taking place. But as long as the administration gets out these photos as required by law now, I just think people should understand that there are going to be questions that won't be answered even with a full release of photos.
I got 15 seconds, Juan.
Well, I think, you know, it reminds me, I think what did Nixon say? Drip, 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 limited hangout. But right now, the drip, drip, drip is just making people angry. Both sides, as Phil said.
All right. We'll continue to follow it. Thank you all.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-smoker can get $1 billion of coverage for $75 per month level rate for 10 years, or a man age 50 non-smoker can obtain $500,000 coverage for a month premium of $110 level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for a new or replacement term life insurance, call Termbusters today for a quote at 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Rate and availability may vary by state. Sample quotes based on preferred non-smoker. Underwriting and exam required. Call 1-800-908-7636 for details. Paid for by Robert Levenger Insurance Agent.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month, and for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcast.com. Connect to Fox News Audio and the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Kimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. We'll be right back.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hand.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
The Justice Department should be doing everything it can to comply with the law. I think realistically 30 days was probably insufficient given the voluminous records that we're talking about.
Everything about this release of the files from the Department of Justice screams cover up, and it also screams a giant middle finger to the survivors.
Well, the latest batch of the Epstein documents out, the DOJ putting out on X a statement. The Department of Justice has officially released nearly 30,000 more pages of documents related to Jeffrey Epstein. Some of these documents contain untrue and sensationalist claims made against President Trump that were submitted to the FBI right before the 2020 election. To be clear, the claims are unfounded and false. And if they had a shred of credibility, they certainly would have been weaponized against President Trump already. Nevertheless, out of our commitment to the law and transparency, the DOJ is releasing these documents with the legally required protections for Epstein victims. Yet they continue to get a lot of oxygen in a lot of media talking about it. Let's bring in our panel. Politico White House Bureau Chief Dasha Burns, Matthew Continetti, scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and Wall Street Journal opinion columnist, and the Five co-host, Jessica Tarloff. Dasha, to the point of it was unique to see that statement from the DOJ on X, with those caveats. However, later in the day, at least one of those documents that got a lot of attention was deemed to be fake. So you're seeing kind of all sides to this document dump that continues to go.
Yeah, Brett, if you're the DOJ, if you are Pam Bondi, you do not want to have to be putting out these kinds of statements online. You also don't want this kind of process there where people can really see a lot of speculation. Look, the process has been really messy. I don't think anyone can argue with that. And what that means is it stokes speculation. It stokes conspiracies. It makes people wonder what is being hidden when the drip, drip, drip continues. And this has been the problem for the Department of Justice from the very beginning of this story, that the way in which things have been disclosed or not disclosed has just made people really wonder what's going on.
Yeah, Matthew?
And I think the major political cost of this story, Brett, has been to the administration, and that the administration is continually on defense. So it's become a process story where the administration has to defend itself, has to characterize how it's handling the files, releasing the files. You saw Republicans rebel against the administration earlier. You know, Jeffrey Epstein has been dead for years, but this story, it seems, is going to continue at least into early 2026.
I mean, we're seeing all kinds of documents, Jessica. I mean, including a fake passport that Epstein used in the 80s, apparently, from Austria. His name was Marius Robert Fortelny, listed Saudi Arabia as his place of residence. I mean, there's not like a tab where you can say this is what this means. It's just a lot of documents all at once.
Totally. 30,000 is a lot to get through. And, you know, the DOJ has been sitting on this for a long time, so you kind of would have thought that maybe they would have been better prepared for this moment, since it has been impending at least since Donald Trump won re-election. The Larry Nassar letter apparently is a fake as well. That got a lot of swirls on social media. But I do think the Department of Justice and the Trump administration did themselves no favors by being so gleeful over Friday's documents with pictures of Bill Clinton, for instance, when they knew that more documents were going to come out where Donald Trump's name is mentioned several times, you know, evidence that he was on Jeffrey Epstein's plane up to eight times between 1993 and 1996. Two things that stick out to me that I think are very important, and this isn't about Donald Trump, this is about these victims getting their justice, that there were at least up to 10 co-conspirators who we don't know who they are and they haven't been charged. And the fact that Maria Farmer, one of the victims, made a complaint in 1996 that wasn't taken seriously, wasn't addressed, and who knows how many victims could have been saved from a terrible fate of being used by Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, etc., if it had been taken seriously. Those stories really stick out.
We'll continue to follow it and see where it goes, politically and otherwise. Meantime, the economy. Here's Kevin Hassett on going past the Biden administration on economic matters.
Right now, we're looking at data about at 100%. The data, 4.3% GDP growth, is happening because of President Trump's policies. But President Biden's policies did things like reduce real incomes by $3,000. They made it so that the typical person buying a new home had to increase their mortgage payment at an annual on an annual basis of by $14,000 for the typical home. And so that kind of stuff takes a while to repair. And if you look at the 4.3% GDP number, you can see that we're repairing it at record pace. I can remember being on CNN back in 2017 where I came out with President Trump and we said, we think we can get 3% GDP growth. And the story in the media back then was always, oh, we're in the new normal. We couldn't possibly grow 3%. And now here we are at 4. And when I talked to President Trump about the 4% growth, he said, I think we should shoot for 20.
You mentioned the GDP number. You see gross domestic product, 4.3%, really blowing past the expectations of 3.2%. And the Wall Street Journal writes it this way: consumers power strongest U.S. economic growth in 2 years. Highest growth rate in 2 years reflected robust spending by consumers on services like health care, as well as spending on recreational vehicles. Goes on to say that this is, it shows strong even after a first quarter contraction as companies ramped up imports ahead of the new tariffs. Dasha, this is great news heading into 2026 for the administration that is already projecting this big Q1, Q2.
The White House is thrilled to see this right now, especially because the economy is going to be such a key factor in the midterms. We've heard this from every White House official, from everyone in Congress, that affordability and cost of living are going to drive so much of politics in the coming year. However, the challenge for the White House is not to get overly excited about this, because there are still Americans. I spent the last month talking to a lot of Trump voters who really love the president, still very much support him, but are struggling day to day. Small business owners, single mothers that feel like the kitchen table issues, the things that they are worried about every single day, haven't caught up yet to the data that we're seeing. And the White House is going to have to balance being really happy to see these numbers, but also being empathetic to people who are still having challenges, Brett.
Yeah, Matthew?
Yeah, the bottom line is growth is up in Trump's first year back in office, and inflation is down. So these are numbers that the Trump administration should be very proud of. And I think once you consider that they're really hoping for bigger refund checks for taxpayers next year, all that foreign direct investment the president has spent the year getting and gathering to come into the United States, and the other effects of the deregulatory agenda kick in, the administration is making a good bet that that whole Americans found themselves into after 4 years of Biden, we're finally going to come out of it in just in time for the midterms.
Jessica.
It's a great number. I would embarrass myself if I sat up here and said, oh, 4.3%, that's not good at all. But it is an interesting contrast to last week's jobs report, for instance, where we have slow growth, 17,000 per month on average since, quote-unquote, Liberation Day, and 4.6% unemployment. So we have some unevenness going on in the economy. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the first two quarters of 2026. But I echo Dasha's sentiments. You know, Biden fell into this trap where he was constantly talking about how great everything is when people at home were feeling differently, when they went to the grocery store, or what was happening at work, if they even had a job. And you got to be mindful of that.
Be a big part of the midterms in 26. All right. Panel, thanks.
individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.